This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our July 31st, 2017 edition of Invest Talk, the very last day in July. So we closed out the month, hopefully, on a good note here on Invest Talk. We want to hear from you. And as always, we are here to help you become above average, above the ranks of the average investor, and we try to answer your questions live during our 4 to 5 Pacific time hour, or you can always leave your question on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278, and we will go to that in a moment. Now, today, consumers are financially strained. Well, what's the evidence? Well, credit card defaults rose from 2.8% back in November to 3.5% in May. So we're going to discuss clues that point to a fragile economy. It's one of our talking points today, and I'm sure you have yours, and I'll get to a few of mine more in a bit. But first, let's check our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Eric from Utah. Just had a question, what your thoughts were on investing in platinum at this time. Do you think it's a good time to maybe look into that? And if you do, what your thoughts are on the best way to invest in platinum. So thank you so much. I really enjoy the show.
All right. He's looking at platinum as an investment. Platinum, certainly that would be a type of precious metal. Certainly not the most popular, but some of the most expensive, right? We are constructive on the precious metal sector, so I like that. And there is an ETF, I believe it is, what's the symbol? Looking that up here. PPLT, that is the physical platinum ETF, and I kind of like it down here. It's starting to rally, starting to show some good strength, and I would be a fan of platinum, and that's what I would use. PPLT is the symbol. So, simple question, simple answer. Now, so what money matter is crowding out the others, looking for your attention? And what's on the top of your list of things that you're worried about, things that you maybe are interested in investing in? Maybe it's something you own that you want to potentially trade out of and into another sector, another stock, and you just want to get another perspective on it. Well, I welcome your questions right now. Whatever you want to talk about, we are ready for it. Now, stocks are as high as they've almost ever been from a valuation perspective. Bonds, you know, they're making money in spite of predictions early in the year to the contrary. And though as poor investments for much of the decade, stock markets overseas are starting to come in the upswing. Now, look at gold. Gold usually shines when other markets are struggling, but it's also up this year. So what does that mean? Does that make you nervous? It doesn't feel right when there's nothing but good news. But wait, the economy isn't really that exciting. That's really the main crux of this whole recovery, right? Growing very modestly. Now, if you look at the volatility index that traders use to measure fear in the U.S. stock market, it's settled into its lowest level since 1993. Very, very low. The VIX closed today down 3 points to 10.26. It was just a few days ago, last week, it hit a low of 8.84. 8.84. That's extremely low and certainly knocks of a lot of complacency. Now, what do you make of this? How has your investment strategy changed? Does that mean you stay out of the market? Does that mean that there's nothing to see here, nothing to buy? What questions do you have on today's show about today's market prospects? You know, my answer to that question is there's always opportunity. You know, I talked to a new client today about that. There's always opportunity in every market, even if the broad market is overvalued. So 888-99-CHART is how to get your voice heard. Bring your question. So let's get back to the phones right now.
Hey, Steve or Justin. I was calling to find out what you thought about a stock, SQM. That's a mining company. I'm up about 20-25%. I wonder where a good stop might be to put in. It just seems to keep going up and up. Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
All right, he's looking at SQM. This is a Chilean company out of Chile. And the basic materials, integrated producer, potassium nitrate, iodine chemicals, plant nutrients, potassium chloride. So they're in the fertilizer business, really. And it has gone up, had a nice run here. Just in the past month or so, it was at 32 and change just near the end of June. Now we're at 41.11 at the close today. So certainly a big run. I don't know the reason behind it. I have to do a little more research, but it certainly had a good run. And I'm going to say, you know, what should your out be? Mine would be the 50-week moving average. That would be my out. You know, currently that sits at 32, so that's back around where it was trading. But this is going to be a volatile name. Not only is it foreign, but it's also in the commodity space. And volatility happens on the upside and the downside, right? So you see some volatility on the upside over the past month. Certainly a solid rally from that 32 level. And could you see a pullback here? Likely. You know, it's overvalued. So if it goes down from 41 into 35 maybe, you know, don't be surprised at that. But as long as it stays above that 50-week moving average, I think it's still in a solid uptrend. I like the space. I like foreign stocks in general. The fundamentals on this name are not fantastic. It's not like it's super undervalued after this run, but it's not overvalued either. Pays a nice 2% dividend, and so that would be my strategy with it. If it closed on a weekly basis below the 50-week moving average, then I'd be out. I need to give this name some ability to fluctuate without me getting shaken out, and so I would hold it until that level. Now, clues that point to a fragile economy, that's one of our talking points today, but I also have others as well. Oil raced back above $50 a barrel today, but can it stay there is the question. I'm going to talk about why it may and may not stay there. Also, what if retirement makes you miserable? Is that something to consider? We're going to go over some examples of that. Stories of boredom, loss of identity, etc., and give you a sense of how you should be thinking about retirement in a more nebulous way, you know, less concrete, but certainly as important as the financial sense, because maybe retirement isn't for everybody, and maybe it's perfect for some. And then a third of millennials think now is time to jump into the market. Is that a good thing, bad thing? Talk about it. And then if we have time, we're going to talk about GDP numbers that came out recently. 8899-CHART, 8899924278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's look at the markets. We had a pretty mixed day. We had the Dow up 60, the SP down about 2. The NASDAQ was certainly the weakest sector, or weakest area of the market, down 26 points, about 0.4%. You had small caps that were weak as well. The IWM was down about 45 cents, so about a third of a percent. And overall, those are always the most important sectors to see, or indexes to see, was their strength or weakness in the market. So we had a somewhat weak day, even though the Dow closed up 60. I've been talking for a while that I do think we could see the market hold up until late July. And guess what? We're there. You know, we're at the end of July. Does that mean we can't make new highs in the next week or two? No, but we're certainly around that time frame where things start to become, even more contentious, and we're starting to see a lot of underlying weakness. The transports, that's really the biggest sector that I'm looking at that's very weak. That peaked out on the 14th of July, and at about 9,763, and now we're at 9,182. So it's about a 7% pullback on the transports. You have the semiconductor index, also very weak as well, and that's failing to make new highs from June when you had the big reversal. You have stocks like Tesla that are rolling over, and others in the tech space that are certainly a worry. So overall, the market underlying is very weak, and you know, can the major index stay elevated for another couple weeks? Possibly, but I think we're at a very, very shaky time right now. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Let's talk about your money. Need some help shaping a retirement investment plan? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. We have about 40 minutes left in the show, but it goes by quick, so give us a call sooner rather than later if you have anything to talk about on this Monday. Now, credit card defaults are on the rise. They're up from about 2.8% back in November to 3.5% in May. And while defaults on credit cards are certainly only one factor, there are multiple indications that lending, borrowing, strength of the consumer is certainly waning. Expansion of credit by credit card companies is also now contracting, down about 10% year over year. Same with auto loans as well. They are also contracting about 10% year over year. Now, if you look at unemployment at only 4.4%, you would think that would translate into increased consumption and increased demand for all types of things, goods and services. But the GDP data demonstrates otherwise, which obviously GDP is a measure of the demand for goods and services and just activity overall in our economy. Are there other indicators that are showing that the consumer and the economy remains not accelerating, but in somewhat deceleration mode? Well, yeah. Now, in the corporate world, federal tax receipts are kind of everything. And they are also shrinking at about 10% on a year-over-year basis. And usually that only happens during a recession. Very interesting. Then what about earnings, corporate earnings? Well, GAAP earnings, generally accepted accounting principles, not there's some companies announced non-GAAP, but GAAP earnings per share for the S&P came in at $100.29 at the end of the first quarter of 2017. Well, at the end of 2013, that was $100.20. So for 3 years, we haven't had any earnings growth, 3 years and a quarter. But the S&P has gone up about 28% since then. So certainly you have PE expansion. And mainly that's to do with borrowing costs being low, companies borrowing money, and buying back stock. So earnings growth is still very anemic. Bank loan demand is rolling over, and this is probably what worries us the most about our overall economy, and that's why we remain in a pretty fragile situation. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. Now, in your portfolio, do you have more cash than earlier in the year? Should you? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve. I have a question regarding my student who has an option of taking a loan out for college at 7%, or my student could take funds from inherited IRA stretched out over her lifetime RMD amount each year, but then that would only cover roughly about only half of the tuition, probably would need to borrow the remaining years. So would it be wise to use part of that IRA, or would it be better to just borrow the entire amount at 7%? Wanted to see what your opinion is on this. Thank you.
All right. I would probably take money out of the inherited IRA, because if you're paying 7% on a loan, if you avoid paying that 7%, then basically you're earning that 7%. Does that make sense? Right, so if you're not paying it, you're basically earning it guaranteed return. So I would use the inherited IRA and then borrow the rest if need be. Hopefully that gives you a little clarity on that. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We have a half hour left, but it will go by quickly. Now, oil prices are now back to $50 a barrel. Had a pretty strong rally, up about 16% since we hit a low just 5 weeks ago at about $42.05 a barrel. And the real question is this recovery real in prices, or is this another head fake? Well, the simple answer is it's probably a head fake. But I'm going to talk about why. Now, most of this rebound has been driven by easing fears about the supply glut and deepening chaos in Venezuela, which has the largest oil reserves in the world, I believe outside of Saudi Arabia. So if anything can knock out production in Venezuela, that will certainly rally prices. So the market is rallying on the fear or hope, maybe, shall you say, that Venezuela will reduce their exports because of the chaos that's happening there. Part of the reason why supply from there could be cut is new sanctions on Venezuela. The president is holding a controversial vote that could further erode the democracy in Venezuela. And so the U.S. government is thinking about putting sanctions on Venezuela because of it. And one of those could be a ban on sales of crude oil and refined products to the United States. Now, Venezuela has been in financial disarray for years, but the situation is kind of escalating pretty quickly. Also, oil markets rallied on the back of OPEC and non-OPEC countries signaling that they'd be open to extending the production cut agreement that's currently in place beyond March of next year, which is what it currently is supposed to run to. Saudi Arabia also said it would cut exports in August. So you have kind of a multitude of factors that are pushing oil prices up, and they're geopolitical factors, which typically is the main type of factor that will push oil prices up, especially short term, where speculators get involved and prices can move rather quickly. But the big question is, over the long term, what do fundamentals look like? Well, the oil glut has been eased a little bit because of strong demand for gasoline during the summer driving season right now. But the new swing producers in the market are the shale drillers. Companies like Pioneer Natural Resources, Range Resources, EOG Resources. And they would like to pump. They want to pump oil because they want to make more money. A lot of them have debt, lots of debt on their balance sheet. So U.S. shale companies are ready to drill. So any continuing oil rally would likely only encourage robust supply from U.S. shale drillers. Now, is 50 the number to get them excited? Not yet. But I think $60 would be a very, very nice price for them to lock in, hedge their price going forward. Meaning they can sell their oil. They can say, okay, a year from now I need to sell X amount of, or I can produce X amount of barrels. So I'm going to sell those prices in the future, or those barrels in the future, at $60 a barrel. And I'm going to lock in, and those shale producers are going to say, I know I can produce that for $40 a barrel. So I'm going to lock that in, and I'm going to pump. And that's going to keep a lid on oil prices. And that is why this oil rally won't last much longer. Stay with us for part two of this Monday's Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. You can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next on Invest Talk. One of the KPP financial solutions that help solve today's retirement puzzles is waiting for you. How do you get the income you need in retirement without the kind of risk that you just don't feel comfortable with? KPP Financial has a whole catalog of investment programs suited for today's investment climate and designed to suit your real-life situation today. Would you like to know more about the Balanced Income Program, for example? You can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts, or ask Steve directly about it. Just click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com, and your note will go directly to him, and he'll answer your question. The Balanced Income Program is one solution from KPP Financial. And now let's get back to the podcast. Let's get back to the Money Talk. Financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein is ready for your money question right now on our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Ken from Wisconsin. Love your show. I have a question or like your input on the stock Domino's Pizza, DPZ. They've been on fire the last, I don't know, 2-3 years now, and but their recent earnings were good, but your earnings weren't the greatest. So they have a pull back now about 17% or 18%. I know their P is a little bit higher, and I don't know if it's as much of a value play as you guys typically look for, but just wondering what your input was on Domino's Pizza at this point. If it seems to be a good buy at this level with the recent pullback, or would you let it go a little bit lower? What's your entry point or thoughts on the stock? So I appreciate your inputs. I'll listen to a future podcast. Thanks.
I was looking at Domino's Pizza. DPZ is the symbol, and he's right. They had good earnings, but it wasn't as good as the market had hoped for. So it had a pretty large pullback from a high about $220 a share. And now we're at $186 a share. And he's wondering, is this now a good time to get in? Because certainly it's cheaper at $186 than it was at $220. And he's right about that. But the question is it a good value at these levels? And I would say, no, it's not. And this is a perfect example of a company who's still growing its revenue about 12%, earnings about 34%, but it wasn't nearly as good as the market had hoped. And it, you know, it's treating the company as a growth play. And when growth kind of slows a little bit, the market will certainly hit that pretty hard. Now the operating earnings yield is only about 5.2%, still not high enough for me to love it. Cash from operations continues to rise, but had a little dip last quarter. So that's part of that growth slowdown that they're worried about. Enterprise value to EBITDA is at 21. That's pretty high. You know, we like to see it in the low teens at the highest, the high single, you know, anywhere in the single digits is really where we love to pick up names. And this isn't there yet. So I think it still needs some more downside for me to get excited about buying it. And I know it yields about 1%, and they certainly can raise that dividend, but I think it needs more downside. I would start to think about it in the low 140s, maybe high 130s. That's kind of the area where I see some pretty big support. Another support, major support, would be around 112. And I think at that level, that's where I'd really start to get aggressive buying it. And then if it gets anywhere below 100, I would definitely start doubling up my position, getting really excited about the valuation. But at 186, it's still overvalued, not attractive yet enough for us. That was DPZ, Domino's Pizza. Let's go to Wendy in Chino Hills. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Dusty?
Doing good. What can I do for you?
Is it a good buy? I'm time to buy Starbucks now.
Well, it's very similar type of story as Domino's Pizza, right? Certainly had a large run since the bottom of the recession. Hit a high of about $65 a share. Now it's sold off on some earnings down to about $54 a share. And you're wondering, is this cheap enough to buy, right?
Yes.
And my answer is very similar to Domino's. It's certainly a good company, certainly has an attractive brand, and is in a similar space, right? But you have an enterprise value of 14. I don't think it's quite as overvalued as Domino's Pizza, but still not attractive enough for me to get super excited. Long term, this tends to trade at a enterprise value to EBITDA closer to, a good number is usually in the around 11 for this name.
Okay.
Right? Maybe a dip below 10. So I think it will get there. It's now in a downtrend. It's not near support. The next big support level is at about $50 a share. So I kind of like it from a technical perspective there for maybe a bounce. But the question is, are you looking for a long-term hold or just a bounce?
A long-term for this one.
Long-term. Okay. A great number would be $41 a share. At $41 a share, I would say not great. Maybe that's a good number, $41 a share. That's where I'd put in an order to buy $41, $42 a share. Ultimately, $34 is my big number. $34 would be buy it hand over fist. Great value at those levels, but it's now in a downtrend. Kind of looking back to 2006, this peaked out in 2006, where the market had peaked out in 2007, and this fell all the way, obviously, into 2009. So this is kind of another canary in the coal mine for the overall market, and I think we're headed for a protracted downturn in Starbucks. So I would keep it on your watch list. Certainly a great company, but not a great value yet.
Okay. Can I ask you another one regarding real estate?
Yeah, go for it.
So regarding me and a friend, we are planning to do something with a little bit fund in the real estate. And we want to do either flip or build. Can you tell me which way is better, or it just depends?
So you want to either flip a property or build one from the ground up, like a spec home. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever done anything like that before?
No.
Do you know any contractors that have ever done anything like that before?
Yes. The contractor, yes.
The contractor's done it. Okay. Do you know how to search for good deals within a particular market and analyze whether? No. I think this is a very tough time to do something like that. You really need to get with, I would partner up with somebody, and I know a few if you want to talk kind of off air sometime, that are are much more experienced than you, which certainly isn't saying much, but are much more experienced than you in finding and analyzing a potential target property to flip, or a potential piece of land to do a spec home or two on. So I would definitely not do it on your own the first time, because there's way too much risk, especially in this market, and you really need to go in with your eyes wide open. That is a very, very complex thing to complex endeavor. It's nowhere even close to as simple as just a buy and hold rental, which has its own kind of quirks and things to think about. This is a very complex endeavor that you're looking at. So if you want to talk about it off air about specifics and dollar amount and location, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. I'll send you an email.
Okay.
Right?
Sounds good. Thanks, Wendy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That was Starbucks. S-B-U-X is the symbol on that. 8899 chart, 8899-2-4278. That's how you get through an ask your question. Hope they can give you an answer. We have 15 minutes left in the show, so get that call in now. Now, a third of millennials think now is the time to jump in the market. It's pretty interesting. You know, valuations on Wall Street are certainly stretched by a number of metrics, but young investors are getting very excited about the market. And after years and years of not being very excited because of what they saw during the financial crisis, and this is just a perfect example of the ebbs and flows of the emotional nature of the markets. You see the market go down, whatever that is, whatever asset class that is, could be stocks, could be bonds, could be real estate, could be commodities. And if you have money to invest and you're paying attention, a lot of times the emotional aspects will color your view of a particular asset class a certain way. And if it's down, you probably colors your view pretty negatively, and vice versa. Until you start seeing gains. And you see gains for an extended period of time. And then usually once the least experienced investors see all these gains and they get the most bullish, that's usually not the best time to be in it. Now, E-Trade Financial did a quarterly investment survey, and they said nearly a third of millennial investors are planning to move out of cash into new positions over the coming 6 months in the market. Now, only 19% of Generation X investors are planning to do that, and 9% of those aged 55 and older. Establishing new positions was the most popular move millennials plan to make. 31% said they would make no change to their portfolio. And 25% said they plan to change the allocation within their portfolio. And 13% said they would shift out of current positions into cash. So 87% of millennials are either happy where they're at, I mean, they're not selling, they're not planning to sell, or they're going to buy more. And that was clearly the highest of any age group. And obviously, millennials are the least experienced of that group. Now, this is a good thing in some ways, because it's true that millennials have been averse to equities because of the financial crisis, starting their careers during that time. And once again, colored their view of the markets. So they're starting to wear off a little bit. So that's a good thing from a long-term perspective, because stocks are great in the long term. But when Legg Mason did a survey in June, 80% of millennials plan to take on more risk this year. 45% plan to take on much more risk this year. So they're very bullish, and that's kind of a worrying sign. Now, you really can't assemble and maintain the right retirement portfolio for you if you don't have a clear and honest understanding of the risk that you should be taking. So Steve and I highly recommend our free risk analysis tool. It's right there on investtalk.com. It only takes about 3 minutes to complete. And then what we can do is we can figure out whether your current portfolio is a good fit for you. Simple process. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab.
A real estate agent can cost or save thousands of dollars. There's much at stake. Take a look at this new Invest Talk Insider info sheet. What makes you different? Why should I list my home with you? What are your marketing plans for my home? Important questions. We have a list of 10 for our Invest Talk Insiders. Sign up today for free on investtalk.com.
Good afternoon, Steve and Justin. My name is Adam from beautiful San Jose, California. I was calling with a three-part question. I bought Restoration Hardware, RH, back in September of 2016, and it's gone up dramatically since then. The first part of the question was to ask if you thought I should cut back here and sell that position, or maybe sell half a position because of its dramatic increase. Second part of the question is, will I need to be worried about capital gains if I was to automatically reinvest that profit into something else in the retail sector? And then as I am reviewing something else to fit, you know, that retail sector, if you had any ideas on potentially picking up L brands, ticker symbol LB, or Target. Both seem to have got hit pretty hard by that Amazon and Whole Foods merger, and I think that I may want to reinvest the money I made on Restoration Hardware in one of those two. I am a podcast listener, and I look forward to hearing your response on an upcoming show. Thank you, and take care.
All right, this is an easy one for me because we're in a similar boat. We also invested in RH for clients in a dynamic growth program back in around the $30 level. I don't know the exact number, but somewhere in there. But we have since sold it. There is a – actually, I think we bought it – no, I remember in June, I want to say, of last year. And we have since sold it because it hit a level that we from a fundamental and technical standpoint – we thought it was overvalued and just didn't want, just want to take the risk off the table, take our profits. Now it's at 65.13, so it's more than doubled since your September buy, it looks like. And I would be taking it off the table now, or at least thinking about it. Think about the long term. If you want to wait until September, which the there's certainly a lot of risk to that, waiting another month, this is a name that could easily fluctuate 20% during that time. So understand that. There's kind of pros and cons of taking the money now and paying your full, you have to hold it a full year for it to be a long-term capital gains. If you sell it today and you bought it last September, you're going to pay short-term capital gains. So that's something to think about. You got to look at, and the short-term capital gains is your ordinary income tax rate. So I don't know what that is for you. So that's a decision you have to make on your own based on your own situation. So I would look to get out of RH, and we do own L Brands and Target for a lot of our clients right now. The question is, which one would do I like more? That's a tough one, to be honest with you. I like both, but I would probably say Target would be, L Brands would be a little bit higher on my list than Target, simply from a valuation standpoint. I like their brands. Not that, Target is more of a big box retailer, which is certainly under attack, but I think they have the ability to compete and make some changes. And so I like them as well. Both have pretty similar numbers when it comes to valuation, similar dividend around 4 or 5% or so. So I like both, but if I'm going to have to pick one of those two, I'm going to go with L Brands. You're listening to Invest Talk. We'd love to hear from you before the hour is up. We have 7-8 minutes left in the show. Give us a call. 888-99-CHART is how to get through. We'll try to get your question in before the hour is up at 888-992-4278.
Good afternoon. This is Saeed from Chicago for Steve or Justin. What do you think about Viacom? Is down 22% this year. I want to add some in my portfolio. I still own some. Do you think it's good to buy now, long term, like 4 or 5 years from now? Please let me know. Thank you. So Viacom, B-I-A-B. Thank you.
All right, he's looking at Viacom, obviously one of the largest global media companies in the world. They make television programs, motion pictures, short form content. They make games as well. This is the owner of MTV, VH1, BET, Nickelodeon, Comedy Central, TV Land, etc. So certainly diversified in the media space, but in the media business, and the biggest worry for them is twofold. One is the connecting to a cable service, right? Going to Netflix only and Hulu and Amazon Video, right? A lot of people just don't want to pay $100 a month for cable anymore, especially if you don't watch sports. So Viacom gets a lot of revenue from those cable subscriptions, and that's certainly under attack. Not only that, but they also make money from advertising on their programs, on their channels. And that is certainly a cyclical business. So those are the two worries when it comes to owning Viacom. Now the question is it a good value? Well, operating's earnings yield today is about 13.2%. That is pretty attractive, actually. Enterprise value to EBITDA, it's only about 4. Also very attractive, very low. Where does it trade long term, though? It's trade as low as about 250 back in 2009. So certainly there could be some downside. You know, you want to look at these ratios in context to its history. So it's not at rock bottom cheap rates. Yields about 2% certainly could raise that. But if you look at the history of their business, it is cyclical. And that's something to consider. So I like it at these levels from a valuation standpoint, but those two factors worry me a little bit. Certainly, not only is their advertising business cyclical, but it's under attack from other online platforms, Facebook, Google, etc., that could shuffle or funnel money away from the TV ads. So that's something to think about. So do I like it here? It's okay. But I certainly don't love it. Let me look at it from a technical perspective. It's gone down a lot from 90 to 40. So it's at support, but it's been kind of chattering around here since 2015, which tells me it wants to break lower. This is bearish consolidation kind of on a longer-term monthly chart. So from a fundamental perspective, it's just okay. And from a technical perspective, it's weak. So I would not be adding to Viacom here. Hope that helps. That was VIA Viacom. Now, what if retirement makes you miserable? And this is something to think about. And you know, on the show, we talk about retirement, financial independence. But Steve can tell you firsthand that retirement isn't always rainbows and butterflies. Many times, people are bored to tears. Some people like getting dressed up and meeting with clients and networking and staying active. Some people have hobbies, but maybe those hobbies just don't fill enough time or give you enough fulfillment or pleasure. Now, some will want to spend time with their grandkids, and that gives them all the pleasure and time, commitment that they want to have and need to have. And in that sense, it's good for them. But others, they need to be work longer. And maybe if you're retired and you're interested in doing other things, go intern. You're never too old to intern. That's how Steve interned with my grandfather when he was retired, and that turned into what we're doing today. So don't think you're too old to intern, and maybe start your own business. That's a good way to go about it as well. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of KP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, and Mr. Peasley and the whole KPP family. Thank you for being with us. Let's get together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.